Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And today we make our final return, roundup of experience in Barcelona. We're unusually offering up only two interviews because they're in depth, both of them. Both of them rather spectacular restaurants.
And they're both so good.
They're so good and so... Oh, so, I don't know. Give me an extreme superlative. They are superlative.
Innovative would have something to do with it, too, I guess.
Yes. But innovative, superlative, and we really like the people involved as well.
And Edouard Zatrouk of Disfrutar has been quite a star. We're not the only ones singing his praises. He was the highest climber. His restaurant was the highest climber in the world's 50 best restaurants this year. 12 months ago, it was the one to watch and made it into the second 50.
And it's remarkable.
And they're just going to keep on going, and they take their work so seriously, and they think about it so and describe it so cogently. There's a good word for you.
Cogently.
It's just a remarkable achievement what these three young men who started out at El Bulli have achieved on their own. And here's Edouard to explain it all.
Where was Chef Eduardo? Deep in the basement of a restaurant called Disfrutar, I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm sure, in Barcelona, and we're surrounded by photographs. And we're surrounded by file folders, and the file folders and the photographs describe all the things, Eduardo, that you have cooked over the 3.5 years you've been open. So you didn't miss a thing.
It's very important, no, that all the work that made, no, in kitchen, that we have to catalog all, because if not, maybe in 2 years you cannot remind what you make. Okay, it's very important for us to make a catalog every year to can know what we are making in a creativity way. And to put us pressure, no, because people ask us, no, okay, now you have in 3 years 2 Michelin stars, you are in the 50 best, no, and this year the 18. Here in Spain we have the maximum from the different guides. So the restaurant in 3 years is very successful, okay, and we are very proud of it. But we don't have any pressure. The pressure that we have, we put it. No, the thing is that we think that the when we had work in El Bulli during more than 18 years, okay, and El Bulli was 5 times the best restaurant in the world, 3 Michelin stars during a lot of times, and people said that in a creativity way was the restaurant with most influence. So we have our own pressure, and now what we are making here at Disfruta is the same that we make at El Bulli, but the difference is that here there is no Ferran or Juli. Okay.
Let me step back a minute here and say that you and your two partners worked together at El Bulli, and so you were really introduced in a very deep fashion to modernist cuisine. Here you are now, and I believe this is your second restaurant. You also have another one. But here you are in Barcelona, and you and I just had a discussion about how you can make things new, and you can find out new ways of doing things. But the name of your restaurant means...
Enjoy. Yeah, the restaurant...
Just means enjoy.
Yeah. The restaurant is Disfrutar. That means enjoy, okay? And this word for us is very big in the significance. you know, because we are creative chefs, okay? And here we make creative kitchen. And when we talk about creativity, we are not talking about to making strange things, okay? Maybe there are things that today you eat, like, no, the basil, no? To put the fresh basil in your hands, and after it a dish, and you have all this flavor of basil, and it's very natural, but it's new in the concept. Or to smell in a glass only a little bit of sherry vinegar, no? That it's magic in the aroma. And after there are techniques more complicated, like the multi-sphérification, the millefeuille of Idiazabal that you eat, that this is a deep-fried foam, that it's new, and this is this texture magic, no? Crunchy, 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 like a salty puffy, okay? So what we like to make is new techniques, new products, new concepts. Because if we have a new technique, we can make thousands of different dishes. It's the same like if we are talking about omelets, no? The person that makes the first omelette was a genius. Because after you can make thousands of different omelettes. So what we dream is to make omelettes. Because in this way, our kitchen is differential, okay? And when you come here at Disfruta, people say, the restaurant is different. And the restaurant is different for that, because it has his own essence in kitchen with these new techniques, products, and concepts that we put in balance, no? And by the other hand, this is one thing that it's for us, like creative chefs, in a professional way, our dream is this, no? Is to make new things. But by the other hand, what we want is that people, when comes here at Disfruta, enjoy a lot with the kitchen. So all the techniques, all the concepts, all the new products has to be prepared in a way that people, when it say, wow, you know. And this is the difference, that for a chef, for us it's normal, no? You go to a restaurant and all it has to be very, very good. But no, maybe sometimes not all things are so many good, but is this, a chef has to eat. We sit on the table, we taste dishes, and what we want in first way is that people, when it say, that's really, really good. And after, if you are a foodie, a person that knows a lot about kitchen, okay, you can realize there is a technique new, no? That this is the incalculated value, no? Of to eat a thing for the first time in your life. No, that this is crazy, no? The first time that you eat that in your life. So this is a thing that for us it's our illusion, and it's a thing that makes that every day we are all day working for that, no? Because we can have maybe more restaurants, more things, but what we love is to be in kitchen and cooking, and that person that comes here at Disfruta, if they come next month, they eat totally different and they can find new things. Is that?
I can't pass by this opportunity to explain how dedicated your staff is, how the ratio is so intense between the servers, the cooks, and the patron. How many cooks and servers do you allocate per person in your restaurant?
So we always see that people, when go to a restaurant, it's, you know, people goes to eat and to have a service, but there is one thing, no, that I think that we don't talk about, and it's very, very important, that are the persons. Okay, when people go to a restaurant, they want to find the chef, you know, friendly, that people likes to go to a restaurant, that I have to be very, very happy that you come at my home, and you have to feel like you're home. And it's for that that Disfrutar is with this design, that we don't want a place where you are, you know, that it's very friendly, you know, friendly, but in a good way. And after, now we are making maximum 50 people per service, and we are 40 chefs and 22 waiters. So we are more than one person for one customer. But why is that? Because the Disfrutar menu, now we have two different menus, okay? One classic and one new, no, for the people that comes. And there are the large one and the medium one. Large one is 34, 33 dishes, and the medium one is 28, more or less. It depends on the menu, okay? But the thing is that you need to go fast, you need to go dynamic, and you need to prepare all things in the moment. And they have to be really good, because the problem of this type of kitchen is that if it's very, very well done, it's really good. But if you don't make it properly, it's a crap. And the same in the service. The service, you don't have to, the waiter has to be for you, not running, you know. It has to be all in, it's like a ballet or a song, no? Maybe there is the best song in the world, no? It's fantastic. Why? Because there are different notes with a tempus in the right, put in order. But if you have all these notes and change it, okay, and put in different tempus, okay, it's not a good song. So in this type of kitchen is the same. When you make a tasting menu, you have to know that you need a great team to make it possible, because Oriol, Mateu and I can be very, very good chefs, but if we don't have a good team to can reproduce all these dishes and to serve properly, it doesn't work.
I put the condition.
We greatly enjoyed the sommelier who helped us to select wines. Well, he selected the wines that we drank with the 35 courses or however many courses that we have. I really lost count. But you're doing something very interesting with your wine program that I've never heard about before. And you're going further into that, because we're next to a room which is going to be a much expanded wine cellar. But the concept, as I understand it, is that in each of a number of different categories, different colors of wine, different weights of wine, different characteristics, in each one of them, starting at the top of the page, is the wine that is made the closest to Barcelona. Yeah. And then the next one is the next closest, and the next one is the next closest. It seems like an interesting idea. How did you come up with that, and are you going to keep that up?
We start to make this concept when we open our first restaurant that is Compartint Cadaqués, okay? The thing is that Oriol, Mateu and me, we are chefs, and we are not persons that knows a lot about wine, but we love wine. So, and we put in our person, no, to say, okay, if I'm going to a restaurant, what we like, no? Yeah, of course, it must be a sommelier that if you ask, no, and you talk with him, they bring to you the wine that he thinks that it's better for you. But if I want to read the wine list, maybe if I see the name of the wine and the price, if I'm not an expert, maybe I don't have the information. But if I know that I love red wines, no, with a strong structure, fluids and all of that, I have more information. So is what we make in Compartir and in Disfrutar, that we make the wine list for types of wines, but for characteristics in mouth. Okay? and you choose what characteristic of wine you like it more, and after you can have this, no, from disfrutar to all the world, in order the wine that we have closer to the restaurant to far. So you have first the wine from Penedès, for example, that it's near of Barcelona, and wine from Australia, maybe is the next. But it's a way that people can understand more what they are drinking, no? And the other thing important is that for us, it's different wine than food, okay? But in a world concept of the restaurant, for us it's important that in kitchen we are creatives, so in the wines we have to be different. And different words mean that, yeah, we have the great wines that you can find around the world, but we love to have special things. Little producers, ancient ages, okay, things that it's not normal to find in another place. No? It's to be different in this. And after, for all the menus, we have the wine pairings that is the same. No? Yeah. We try to make combinations that people enjoy a lot, but are not the typical pairings.
I have a very basic question, and it may seem overly simple to you, but I want to know what made you have the idea that you did not want to just broil lamb and fish and make sardines and make modernist food. What motivated you to look for new ways of cooking?
This is very simple because it's what you have inside. So a chef, we are chefs that we love creativity. And during a lot of years, we make that. And it's what we love, you know. The other thing is that to can be a restaurant good in creativity, you need a lot of things. Disfrutar, when I started Disfrutar, it wasn't a creativity restaurant. It was a modern restaurant. That is totally different. We make modern techniques, and maybe, yeah, people come here and say, oh, there is a lot of creativity, but in a real way, no. In the first menu of Disfrutar, there wasn't a new technique or a new product. No, there was new dishes, but in a creativity way, those dishes were not important. Okay? To make creativity is very difficult because you need time, you need space, you need team, and you need the clients.
Yes.
Because if we are all day cooking, but to make this, you need to have a person that comes to your restaurant and accept your work. And this is very difficult, and to be sustainable in time, because nowadays, for example, we have the lucky that from the day that we open, the restaurant is fully booked every day. But we don't have a waiting list from 3 months, no. Maybe next week you can come to it, or this night. But the thing is that we are regular in working, and this is the best. Why? Because we can go step by step. And the other very, very important thing is that to make the restaurant is possible because Mateo, Oriol and me, we are crazy. No, it's that because we are chefs, that we don't have any money, we go to a bank and we say, okay, we need money to make this. And step by step, we make it. But if here in the don't make that, it's this. Or if we say, okay, we want to live very well and money. to get money. On the price of the menu, we don't put 15 grams. We think in, no sé, we are happy with this. We love our work and we love the creativity in kitchen. So it's what that makes that every day we have the ganas, no? We need this. It's like the adrenaline of our, yeah, it's this. No, we arrive and we say, oh, make something new. And when you make a new thing, a new technique, or discover a new product, the sensation is magic. I don't know how to explain that. When you meet a person, no, and you get in love.
Yes.
You know, so it's not the same. It's not the same, but it's a sensation that you say, wow. I don't know how to explain, but it's the magic of the kitchen, no?
Now we're talking kind of abstractly. Our listeners really like to know details about the actual food. Could you pick, let's say, three dishes that we had tonight to eat that you would like to explain, describe the dishes and the ingredients and the concept? Trace.
It's difficult, eh, to try three. Yeah, no, but... for example, no, we can have the pancino filled with caviar. Okay?
That's his favorite thing.
Yeah. Why we try that? Because it's a new technique. Okay? If you think about this bite that you eat, it was a round of dough. And you look and it's a dough. But inside you can find fresh caviar with creme fraiche. And the texture of the dough is like a brioche, very, very aired, okay? This, before to eat this technique, it was impossible. Why? Because if you put fresh caviar inside a dough and after you ferment it, the caviar is bad.
It's bad.
You know? And what we make? We make a very fluid dough, we put in a siphon, and we fry it at the moment. And we fill with the caviar, okay? We put an iron in the oil. We put a little bit of this dough, liquid dough with the foam. Caviar and creme fraiche and more foam. And we put inside of the oil 180 degrees. And in 20 seconds, it happens, you know. And you have this magic texture and with the creamy and freshness of the caviar. We make with, you eat with caviar, but we can make with cheese. We can make with fresh tuna, sea urchin, with a sorbet, with a cream, whatever you want. So for us, this is magic, no? Because you can have a brioche, a fresh brioche, or with wild strawberries. And it's very, very good with cream, you know. And you have a sandwich of brioche, very, very aired, but fresh, okay? After, for example, I don't know what we can try. For example, a tatin that you eat, no?
The which?
Tatin of Juan Corn. The multi-spherification. Okay? This is a snack that it's classic, no? From the disfrutar that it's made with the technique of multi-spherification that we made 2 years ago. Okay? And you can find a croquant of corn.
That's beautiful.
No? That makes the tart, no? That it's very thin and crunchy. And on the top, there is a terrino foie gras, of fresh foie gras. And after the multi-spherification of corn, with a little bit of Pedro Ximénez, that is a sweet wine.
There.
Yeah. And what you find when you eat is the crunchy of the corn, the creamy of the foie, and the liquid of the multi-spherification. Okay. So in one bite you can find three different textures, and it's the pairing between the foie gras and what the foie gras eats, no, that is the corn. And you see some people like it a lot. And at the end we can choose a dessert, no, and for example it's a tartar whiskey. Okay. And what we make here, it's a deconstruction of tartar whiskey, that is a traditional dessert of Spain, of 30 years ago, no, maybe. That this is a thing that we like a lot, no, to have a traditional dish and to make and change it. And in this case, you can find a liquid caramel of hazelnut, a creamy egg yolk with vanilla, chantilly, yes, and a little bit of coffee. That are the elements that has a traditional tartar whiskey. But here you don't find the whiskey. And what we make with the whiskey is to understand the whiskey, that it's a whiskey that has a smoked whiskey. What we make is to treat like a perfume and whip it some whiskey in your hands, and it's like a perfume, no? And you are eating the tartar whiskey with your hands, and you are smelling all this aroma.
We could stay all day, but we also know that chef's premises are going to be filled once again with eager diners coming very soon. So listeners, it's really very simple. The name of the restaurant is Tour Disfrutar. I got that wrong. You can tell what a great time I've been having. This is a restaurant that is on top of the list the next time we come to Barcelona. In fact, we'll find a way around somewhere else in Spain to get here. It should be on your list too, because this is such an incredible achievement. Eduardo and your partners, you have made it from being a new restaurant to the one to watch in the World's 50 Best Restaurant Awards, to two Michelin stars, and to the awards that we were just at, the highest climber from outside the top 50 to number 18. This is not a joke. This is not a surprise. This is how these gentlemen have been so successful, and we appreciate everything you and your team have done for us, Eduardo. It's been such a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. No?
Any last word?
Yeah, we know. Here we are very happy. No, nowadays I think that we are in a sweet moment, but we know that the restaurant can be better, and we have the energy to make day by day, step by step. And no, we are chefs that has a lot of time cooking, but we have the child anima, you know. So no, but we have the freshness. We have a very great team, okay. And I think that people that come to a restaurant when they come inside and when they go outside, they are happy. They are smiling, and they say thank you. And you see that there is emotion inside, and this is what is more fantastic for us, no? To can give emotion with food. So it's fantastic. And I hope that all people that come to a restaurant can find this, no, this essencia, no, we call essence. I think that the Sutah has the anima. There is a person there, you feel, no, this, and we are very happy, and very happy that you come to know more about us and to taste our things.
I'm so happy to understand more about your motivations and how you run your operation. I'm very impressed, and thank you for talking to us. Muchas gracias. Tengo the disfrutar. Tengo Disfrutare.
Yeah.
Anne was just commenting that she sounded perhaps that she was a little tired. because lunch started at 1:30, and we were finishing up the interview about 6:15 p.m.
Every course was a 35 course, whatever it was, matched to some sort of alcoholic beverage.
So anyway, when you make a booking at Disfrutar, please make sure that you don't make a reservation for another meal for probably at least 3 days. Truly.
I think we went back to the hotel and crashed, is what I remember.
Truly, what these young men have put together is a remarkable achievement. They have another restaurant in the seaside town of Cadaqués, birthplace of the famous Salvador
Great
Dali.
Great seafood.
And but this is a Michelin 3-star restaurant within a year or two, without a doubt. And not only that, a truly, truly fascinating, almost an enriching experience with food and wine. And don't go away, because we'll be back.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. Now, we brought you our interview with Carme Ruscalleda a couple weeks ago, I believe, maybe 3 weeks ago. And as you know, we're madly in love with Carme and her restaurant, St. Paul de Mar. And she has another restaurant in Tokyo. And she has a restaurant in Barcelona, which is the one that we visited this trip, and it's called Moments, and it is, again, it's a superlative restaurant, and just like everything she does, her son, Raul, is in charge of this restaurant, and he's the chef, is he?
Yeah.
He's the chef, but he made an electronic appearance during the interview on Skype, because he was in Tokyo.
We were not expecting him. We were talking to the chef who runs the place when he's not there.
Yeah, chef de cuisine.
And also to the truly brilliant general manager who was most entertaining and most helpful.
All these people that we meet are just as good as food.
And he's a salsa dancer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Who knows what you're going to find next? anyway, this is the most charming room in the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, with a vision into the kitchen.
Yeah, and it looks like it's a proscenium setting, a stage.
Yeah, because it is, I guess.
And it is, and they're cooking in there, and you can see that. And the decor, I mean, the perfect decor, it's a professional interior designer. And, of course, Carme herself has exquisite taste, because she's a visual artist as well as a chef.
Anyway, let's listen.
Shall
we go back to Moments?
Because we had so much fun.
Okay. This is like an oasis of calm in the middle of one of the busiest streets in the world, the Passage de Gracias in Barcelona, Spain, and we're in the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, which is so quiet, it's unbelievable. And we're in a restaurant called Moments, and I want to know why it's called Moments, first of all. Federico, the general manager of the restaurant, why is that?
Well, actually, the name have two significance, so it's Moments or Moments. So when you see it right, it's exactly the same, but you can read Moments, like it's in Catalan, or Moments, that is in English. So for that, we have people can read it as they feel. Normally, local people say moments, moments, and people from outside say moments.
But I still don't think you explained why.
Well, because here we serve moments to enjoy, moments to we serve different kind of moments for the people that who feel. So if you want moments to relax, as you say, that the atmosphere is very, very calm and relaxes, so moments to share with friends, with moments to work, because we have business people here also, different kind of moments.
Now, I want to ask a question a little bit differently of Chef Murillo, who is originally from Brazil, but spent most of his life in Spain. But there's a fine chef in the Basque region called Anton Andoni. His restaurant's called Mugaritz. And when you're at Mugaritz, as you sit down, there's an envelope on your plate. And when you open it, it says, please give us the next 2.5 hours to concentrate on what it is you're eating. What do you think about that? Is that a good idea?
Anthony Adores.
Cuando llegas a Mugaritz, que está el sobre, sí. Y cuando tú lo abres, dice, estate, danos 2 horas para nosotros, estate 2 horas solamente para nosotros, sí. Que cómo crees que es esto, si es una buena idea, qué es lo que tú crees aparte de lo que ellos tienen.
¿Castellano? ¿Hablo en castellano?
Sí, yeah, puedes hablar en español y luego en
inglés.
Sí,
sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí, sí,
Sí, bueno, es muy interesante porque, claro, son 2 horas que le pides a ese cliente, pues, que te sientes parte de lo que es el restaurante, de lo que es disfrutar, 2 horas para disfrutar, para conocer lo que es esa cocina, para 2 horas para uno sentirse privilegiado de comer esa comida, de disfrutar de ese momento. Son 2 horas de... A mí me parece una cosa súper bonita, súper interesante. Y la verdad es que es algo que todo el mundo deberíamos de tener esa oportunidad de probar, de sentir esas 2 horas, de que es algo muy, muy bonito, que muy interesante.
Oh, okay, Federico, what did you say?
Good. So he said that he think that it's a very, very beautiful and very interesting this kind of a start, because it's very interesting to say to the people who please bring us these 2 hours just so you can enjoy this experience and please feel part of our experience and our sensation and what to give. So the people, I think they feel privileges that to can enjoy this experience that the chef wants to bring bring you. And say that for him this very, very beautiful thing, and everybody can understand and can share this kind of things that he do.
Now the ownership of the restaurant is very interesting. Yesterday, it turns out, seems like a long time ago, because we had such a delightful luncheon experience at a restaurant São Paulo, just 45 kilometers from here. But it turns out that Carme Ruscaeda and her husband and their son Raul are involved in the control of this restaurant here. And Raul is off doing something slightly different. And Federico and Murillo are in charge. How does that feel?
Well, to be a part of Carmor's Caída, it's a honor for us. So I can say that I opened the restaurant. So I'm working with Karma for 9 years. So I started in this project with her. So we won together the first Michelin star, the second Michelin star, and be part of her and Raul and Tony it's amazing. So they are a very, very, very professional people. Karma came here to the restaurant once a week, always. I think she don't have vacations, because when she have a day off, she's here. When she have a vacation, she's in Tokyo, and no, she's fantastic, and Raul also. So Raul is not here right now because he's in Tokyo making the other menu and working in the other restaurant. So there are people that is work so hard, and is very focused in the gastronomy, and we are very, very happy and lucky to be there.
And we are hoping that we will catch Raul by telephone to add to this interview whenever he's not so busy or he's not in Japan. Sweetheart, you had a question?
Well, I was about to say that being as this is in the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, it is a very elegant setting and very innovative as well, because I'm looking at out the glass doors to the patio, and there is a living wall that's beautiful, but the elegance that surrounds this place must affect the food. Can you address that, or shall Chef address how this effect of elegance permeates your menu?
Well, we think that the experience needs to be the whole, so it's the environment, the service, the cuisine, so the dish that Raul and the team prepare, also be inspired by the atmosphere that we have here. So sometimes you see, we have also a garden upstairs, so we need a flower. Okay, well, so we go to the garden and we take some air from there, and we use this space. And also for the people who came here to live the experience, and want to eat these dishes that we prepare, also to come here to be this environment, to can go out to the garden to have a coffee outside and change the spaces, so it's part of experience.
Now, it's too bad we're not on television, it's just audio, because you yourself are very theatrical, so I should mention, because there's a two-part question here. You were actually a dancer as well as the manager of this restaurant, and a musical theme is now permeating your offering, because all of the dishes are referencing an opera. First of all, tell us a little bit about your dancing. What kind do you do? And secondly, talk about the opera menu.
Well, actually, I dance is very different than the opera. So I have a professional salsa group.
Oh.
So I dance salsa outside in all Europe and Spain. But well, because also the service that we make here also is a kind is a ballet, because we want to go very synchronized all together. And I said to my team, no, another time, come on, one, two, three, put the plate. No, another time, one, two. So it's a rehearsal constantly. So by the menu, the opener, so we change the menus twice a year. Sorry.
I'm just going to interrupt before I forget it, is that I read an article about how they are hiring professional ballet dancers to teach the waiters and the cooks how to move, and it increases the effectiveness and efficiency of restaurants.
Well, for me, it's people could say that it is important or not. For me, it's very important to be all synchronized, to be a ballet in here, because it is part of the experience. I say that if you eat here in moments and you eat in Arsac or in Mugaritz or in whatever, so we have 2 Michelin stars or 3 or 1 Michelin star, for sure, you're going to eat very good. So I said to my team, what is that we can make the difference so in the service also. So we need to have a very, very good service to be synchronized, and for me it's very, very important to be part of the experience.
Why did you devise this menu based on opera themes? How did this come about? And can you discuss some of these, or would the chef like to comment on some of the dishes and how it all relates to the opera itself?
Well, we change the menu twice a year. This is our fourth same menu, so we start with the journey. So we make a journey for different cities where a Mandarin Oriental have a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Then we change it and we have the cinema. So we have different kind of films and we prepare a dish inspired by these films. The last menu that we finished 2 weeks ago was the ecosystems. So also it's a journey for different kind of ecosystem. But we go for the desert, tundra, and marisma or a steppe. So, well, and now we have the opera because Raúl, our chef, loves the opera. He say always that he's not very he don't understand and he's not the opera, but when he saw the opera, he had so many, many emotions, so that he wanted to share these feelings and emotions in this dishes that he prepared.
There are some really remarkable choices on this menu. I'm just going to go with the names, and then I'm going to invite Chef to explain why. Why, for example, is Maria Callas' dish? Maria Callas, of course, being a very famous soprano, and she has an American source. I don't know why that is exactly. We have three tenors here. We have one called Wagner. I bet that's a noisy course. And ochre, which is... What's an ochre, love? Is that a duck or a...
Ochre is the goose.
It's a goose. It's so we have a goose from Cairo. I didn't realize a goose started an opera, but you can never tell. Pick a couple of your favorites, Mario, and explain why you associated them with, for example, Carmen is oxtail.
Maria Callas y el rabo de toro de Carmen.
Maria Callas y el rabo de
toro,
¿no?
Sí. Maria Callas
es prawns.
Sí, prawns.
Porque Maria Callas y el rabo de
toro. Maria Callas, bueno, la idea es una idea de Raúl, que le gustaba mucho. Claro, era, si hiciéramos ópera, pues Maria Callas era imprescindible para nosotros, teníamos que haber hecho Maria Callas, y la idea fue de Raúl, de las gambas y de las lentejas también, porque era griega por las verduras, teníamos el toque de Grecia, pues por eso queríamos hacer las verduritas, las lentejas, y después pues el rabo de toro, pues también es lo mismo, es la idea de rabo de toro fue ¿de Wagner, te he preguntado? ¿O de Wagner? ¿De Wagner o Wagner de queso? Vale. Y de queso porque es la pintura que tenemos de Wagner, que tenemos aquí en el Teatro Liceo, pues es una obra clavada con los quesos. Si tú lo ves en el cuadro, ya si tú conoces la pintura de Wagner, pues ya identifica con esa sala que tenemos en el ciclo de Liceo, que es el mismo plato que hacemos del queso.
Ok, what was all that?
Good. So, for example, as you can see in the menu, it's not just songs or artists, so we see the opera in general. So, for example, in Maria Callas, for us, it's Maria Callas is the prima donna of the opera. So, for that, in this case, we have the prima donna of the sea, so it's the prawns.
Okay.
So, the Rels, Maria Callas was born in New York, but the family is from Greece. So in this case, we prepare here a fakesh soup that is a typical soup of lentils from Greek, and we have an American sauce that we prepare here because she was born in New York.
Go ahead.
Yes, and then, for example, in the Carmen, Carmen is a tragical lyric that we prepare here. Olla Gitana. The Olla Gitana is a kind of broth that we prepare here with the oxtails, with some chickpeas and carrots. So it's like a strong taste. And then also we have here strawberries from the Maresma, just to make a tribute to Karma Roscalleda. So we made. And then also, as we have the Wagner. In Wagner, Wagner is not very very gastronomic person. We cannot find things that say that Wagner is gastronomic. So we made a tribute to Germany, okay, in this case.
I'm worried about Madame Butterfly.
Just one moment, because we have Raul here.
Oh,
from Tokyo.
Okay. Raul, how lovely to see you. We are very well, and your mother says hello, and I hope you're behaving yourself.
Hello from Tokyo.
This is Kucha.
Can you speak a little louder?
¿Le puedes poner más alto?
Sí.
Hello from Tokyo.
How? ¿Puedes hablar?
Dime. Bueno, sí. Hello from Tokyo. How are you?
Very well, thank you. We're looking at your opera menu and really enjoying what we see, and we were a little bit worried about Madame Butterfly, because Madame Butterfly's future was not very good.
Están una mica preocupados por Madame Butterfly porque claro, la obra no ha sido muy buena.
No, bueno, sí, es una obra de amor muy maca.
They say that it's a very beautiful, lovely opera from love.
But you need to say it in the microphone.
Yeah, I have to put it in. Let me lean over further. There's one very interesting one called the Peach Melba. After Dame Nellie Melba, who was a famous, a very famous opera singer, and. So when she was, the story goes, when she was in Sydney, Australia.
I know.
You know the story.
I know. She loved Escoffier. Escoffier and Melba are well friends. And when Melba let's go to London to sing the opera, Escoffier in Savoy prepared this peach melba from she.
So Escoffier and Melba are very, very.
Who's the dancer? They did the.
What?
Who's the dancer? They did the meringue. The one you mess up all the time.
Pavlova.
Pavlova. Okay. Now we remember that there's a character who's perhaps even missing from this, especially since Federico is such a dancer. But there is an argument between Australia and New Zealand as to who invented the dessert dish called pavlova.
No, okay. What did you say? Sorry, can you repeat?
There was a very famous ballet dancer called Anna Pavlova.
Okay, y hay una artista, una bailarina muy importante, se llama Pavlova.
And somebody created a dish for her, which is made out of meringue and all kinds of other wonderful sweet things. But there's a huge argument between Australia and New Zealand as to which country invented that for her.
diu que han inventat un postre directament per ella, que és un merengue, que ve, que bueno, té una relació molt directa entre Austràlia i Nova Zelanda, i és un postre que han fet directament per ella, per la ballarina Pavlova. So we are thinking to make maybe ballet, and when we make this ballet, we are thinking about to make this pavlova.
It's very good. Okay. Now, what are a couple of your favorite items on this menu?
Quins són potser els seus dos favorits plats al menú?
Els dos?
Sí.
My first is the liceu.
Okay.
And the second is the opera.
This too.
I can understand that. And Maria Callas, I love it.
Well, what time of day is it in Japan now? What time of day?
Okay, hora.
Quina hora és allà ara?
Ara són, just a minute, són les, it's a quarter to night. A quarter to nine to the evening.
Now it's quarter to nine in.
Yes, so service is just beginning on Spanish time, right?
El servei està començant ara, com a l'hora espanyola.
No, it's finally. The beginning, the service, it's at 6 o'clock.
They start at 6 o'clock and they just finished the service.
Okay. Shall we you have any more questions for Raoul? Shall we let him rest? Chef, we assure you have had a busy day. So thank you so much for calling and being part of this interview. It was a pleasure to meet you by telephone.
Nice to meet you. It's a pleasure for me. Thank you so much.
That's a whole.
He's a technologist, but I didn't realize he was such a technologist. Sweetheart, do you have a wrap up with Federico?
No.
Oh, okay.
You know, I have a request, both of you. It's not on our menu, it's not on the special tasting menu, but I'm dying to taste the sea cucumber again. I forget how you call it. Espardenas. Por favor. Padre maybe. Espardenas.
Well, so it's a very appreciated food for us, so we are honored to prepare it for you. So don't worry about that. We can make it whatever you want.
Well, I look forward to sampling this menu and to talking to you again throughout the meals, and lots of luck. Now you take singing lessons for the opera, Chef, and you can dance now with the manager.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you very much.
Maria, a last word to our audience?
Thank you so much. Ha sido un placer. Muchas gracias por todo. Thanks so much.
So there you have it, listeners. Just as a recap for you, when you're headed for Barcelona, make your reservations in advance, because these are sure are popular places. The restaurant Disfrutar and restaurant Moments. Shouldn't be too hard to remember, and if not, you can always come back and listen to the program. And in the meantime, until next week, same time, same place, what do we say?
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.